may sound like an odd thing to say, but I find a great blessing being able to afford some comfort to the families. And that is one of my favorite texts for that. And yeah, Jesus wept because he loved them. He loved them. The wonderful message. It's good to be here, and I hope not to weary you, brethren. I have a lot on my mind and probably not enough words to say them, so considering the lateness of the hour, that's probably a blessing for y'all. But it is good to be here amongst you all, particularly Brother David. I don't know if everybody here realizes, me and Brother David, we go back a long ways. We go back prior to me coming into the Old Baptist, okay, a long time ago, and was one of the brethren quite instrumental in me making that move many years ago. And I'll always be thankful for that. Love you, brother.
Love you, Brother
Bill. The scriptures say a lot of things on the subject of faith. And it is a multifaceted subject and one which has great depth and one which a lot of times the world, I think, oversimplifies, one which I am quite guilty of oversimplifying. So there are some things concerning the subject I'd like us to look at a little bit this afternoon. Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." I'd like to start at the end of that statement there about the evidence of things not seen. I think that's the typical hallmark of what most people think of when they think about faith. It has to do with things that we have not seen with the natural eye. That's where we get from the scripture. It says to walk by faith and not by sight and things like that. But notice it says something a little stronger there than what we generally express, in that it is evidence. That's a very strong statement. I believe it's in the scriptures. It's also a very legal statement. We're told that all things should be established according to the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? I want us to consider the things that we know by faith. Though we know them by faith, though we experience them by faith, they are not groundless. A lot of people think, well, if you have faith, you don't really have anything to back it up. You don't have any ground to it. You don't have any evidence. Well, the scripture says faith is the evidence of things not seen. And I want us to see how it is that as God's children, and particularly as believers in Jesus Christ, our faith is not groundless and it is not without substance. It says it's the substance of things hoped for. Now, substance is something that makes something real. So we got substance. We have, and I'm not talking about physical matter. I'm saying something has substance to it. You can even say other things have substance. You can say a man had no substance to his arguments. There was nothing there.
Right.
If there is substance, there's something there. I'm not saying it's necessarily physical, but there is something there.
Right.
So we have substance and we have evidence. Right. Now, I had a great experience several years ago, about things about evidence. Evidence can tell us all kinds of things about something that occurred though we were not there. That's what evidence oftentimes is all about. I was called to serve on a jury in district court there in Erath County. And I never grumble about getting a jury summons. I figure it's my civic duty. I enjoy the blessings and privileges of American citizenship, and I figure it's the least I can do. And it gets me out of the office, which is a wonderful blessing. And I don't even care. It only pays $6 a day. It's great to get out of the office. And so I go happily. And most of the times, you get the notice and you're supposed to call and you do all these things and you don't get to go. And sometimes you even get to go and then they don't pick you. You get sent home, you know, happy to go home. But one time I got picked. And it was for a serious fraud type of a case. A husband and wife were writing hot checks all around the place. And not just writing hot checks, but it was a scam they were doing on the stores. It was very complicated. It was a serious crime. One where the penalties of would be serious consequences. And so we heard the case. We heard the evidence. Now, I was not there when any of the things happened. Yet I was being asked to make a decision about things that I wasn't there to see any of it happen. Yet I was being asked to make decisions about what I thought was true about that. You notice that sounds a whole lot like faith. I wasn't there to see it. I wasn't there to see it, but I was being given evidence. By the way, this is just a little free advice. It has nothing to do with the text. But if you go in and the judge tells you, now y'all, this part of the trial's over, y'all need to go back in there, and the first task is to pick a foreman. If you don't want to be the foreman, don't be the first one to pop off and say that, okay, it's time for us to pick a foreman, because guess who will be the foreman? And I was the foreman. Yeah, that was a hard lesson. So we talked about the evidence. We talked about the evidence as if we had been there, to the best of our knowledge. The case went on. We found him guilty. We sent him up the river, all of that. But notice, and not as well as I wanted to, but we had to compromise. But faith and evidence go together. We were being asked to say what we believe concerning what had happened, though we were not there and had not seen it with our physical eyes, on the basis of evidence. Amen. Faith is very much the same thing in our lives. And it says it's also the substance of things hoped for. It's that which makes it real unto us. But I want us to think about what makes it real unto us. Well, we also know that, as it was mentioned before, just before, that faith is fruit of the Spirit. And so we know that the Spirit is witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God, whereby we cry forth, Abba, Father. And so we have that. But we also know that the Apostle Paul, in a certain place, mentioned about, for the Gentiles, he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, what is giving substance to our faith? Well, the Apostle Paul indicated it, Christ in you. He mentioned a moment ago, it was very well put about us being in Christ. That's a very, very important subject. And it's also true that he is in us. Yes. By the Spirit, he is in us. In fact, the Scripture says that, for ye have the mind of Christ. We have witnesses. We have evidence. And because of that, we have something to go on. We also have the Scriptures. The Lord has blessed us with the Scriptures. He has blessed us, I think, particularly as a people, with a desire to know the things of the Scriptures, a desire to discern wisdom from the Scriptures, and I believe He has blessed our people to have that. I really do. But there are times when things can come in amongst God's people that would try to take the Scriptures and twist them, that would try to lead God's people off base into other ways that are contrary to Scripture. And brethren, it is during those times that God's people need to remember whence they came from. Yeah. They need to remember what they were originally taught. You know, our churches are established on good, sound foundations. Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the doctrines of the apostles and the prophets, we have these things. It's disturbing to me when I see where men would come in and take God's little children and lead them off with false doctrine. But brethren, this is nothing new. This is something that's been going on throughout all this time. You even see instances of it going on before the gospel times to the Israelites. This is what happens. I'd like us to go to a particular text this afternoon and talk about that just a little bit. about a place where that was happening and what the Apostle Paul said concerning it. If we go into the Galatian letter, now I'm going to apologize right here. I am about to go back onto text that's already been covered very ably earlier in this meeting. Brother Mike preached out of Galatians chapter 3 earlier. I say amen to everything he said. And I will admit to you right now, these are things that me and him have been studying together. I feel blessed to have brethren to be able to study God's Word together, and brethren who will put up with me long enough to actually talk with me about the things of Scriptures, because it does take a lot of putting up with. But we find here in this text a church that was in serious trouble of being led into error, and the Apostle Paul calling him out on it. So I want us to go back and look at this text a little bit. In Galatians 3 and 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That is how seriously the Apostle Paul considered this matter of untruth that had come there. Now, you know, to bewitch them, that's a serious thing. Who had could have changed their minds so evidently about the things that they already knew to be true? He says that ye should not obey the truth. When we leave the things of the truth, then we can't be found obeying the truth. They kind of go hand in hand. If we're going to obey the truth, we must hold the truth. We must hold the things of the truth, and we're going to be obedient to the truth. He says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So what are the things he's saying here to the Galatians? He's saying all the things that of the truth of Jesus Christ has been set forth in front of you. They knew these things. And not only that, it says, have been evidently set forth. Remember that goes back to that subject of evidence? When they had been established as a church, when they had been established, and it may be for Galatians, maybe it was churches there in Galatia. It would probably be more accurate. But they had been set up on good principles. They had been preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truths of election, and all these things that we hold dear concerning the truth of God's Word. They had been given evidence. Jesus Christ hath evidently set forth, having been evidently set forth, not only that, crucified among you. He's not calling into question their being children of God. There was the evidence set forth by the fact that they believed the things of the truth. That's a thing of faith, of the work of the Spirit of God in them. And of Jesus Christ having been crucified among them. In other words, His finished work, they had been the recipients of it. And they had learned about it. And the evidence had been brought to them. But that's one of the things that the gospel does. We were not there to see Jesus Christ crucified. We were not there to hear the Sermon on the Mount. We have it recorded here, but we weren't there. Yet those things have been evidently set forth in front of them. In other words, the evidence has been presented. And the work is done already within us. Jesus Christ, it says, crucified among you. It's talking about His work. He says, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, ye are now made perfect by the flesh? Now, Brother Mike made it very clear earlier when he preached on this subject that the Spirit here is being begun in the Spirit is not talking about the new birth. This is talking about their experience. Their experience was the same as all of those Gentile churches that had been established during the time of the apostles. And we know from the letter to the church at Corinth and in the things recorded in the book of Acts that amongst the Gentile churches, there was a very special thing that was done of the works of the Spirit amongst them. Not talking about the new birth. These are things well after the new birth. Right. These are the things that as the truth and the evidence of Jesus Christ was set forth before them, that they were given certain things of the Spirit that were to signify to them that these things were true. And not only to signify that they were true to them, but also signify to the Jews that they were really children of God also. That was another one of the purposes of that. But we find here, he says, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Now, I want to make mention of something here. What had they heard? They had heard about evidence of Jesus Christ. This is not saying that they had heard of faith as in about faith. It's not the same thing. Here, this is talking about a hearing of faith. I'd like us to go to one particular text that talks about another thing of faith, the speaking of faith. If we go to a Roman letter, in Romans chapter 10, that's right, Romans chapter 10, you go back to verse 5. Actually, go back to verse 4. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, of course, that's not implying that the law ever made a man righteous. But in people's minds it could, and it certainly did to the Jews who were not being obedient to the truth of Jesus Christ that had been evidently set forth before them. So they thought that the law made them, the keeping of the law, made them righteous before God. Now, it doesn't mean they were correct, but in their minds they thought they were correct, and so they were trying to live that way. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That there is a certain time that in the life of a child of God, if he has been raised up in works, and brethren, I know what it is to be raised up in works. We heard another brother who was talking about that as part of his experience earlier in life, and I know what that is like. And brethren, there is a point in time that when you finally understand what Jesus Christ has done for you and how he has done it for you and the surety of it that he has done it for you, that brethren, the works don't matter anymore. Because Jesus Christ becomes all your righteousness to your mind, to your heart. I mean, he already was, but to you it becomes real because the evidence has been set forth and the substance of that which was hoped for becomes real in your mind and in your heart. And brethren, that is when that child of God no longer has the law for righteousness or whatever works he was doing for righteousness, and he sees Christ as all his righteousness.
Amen.
Well, just as the Jews in Romans 10 had not yet done that and had not been freed from bondage of law, these Galatian Gentiles were in danger of going the other direction. And they were in that danger. And that can happen to a child of God. It makes it very clear in another place that the child of God can forget that he was purged from his own old sins. That's a dangerous thing in his life. He goes back under the law of bondage. It says in verse 5, for Moses described it, the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. That's the way the law is. It's an all or nothing proposition. You can't say, well, I want to keep 99.99% of the law and not do this one. You're guilty of the whole law. And any work system ends up becoming that type of a problem. Because you find that you're just not perfect. The child of God, if he ever becomes honest with himself and attentive to the movement of the Spirit in his heart and the conviction of the Spirit in heart of his heart, he's going to realize that he has not kept the law, whatever that law is. But then it says in verse 6, it says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So you had the hearing of faith, and here you have speaking. It says, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. It says, but what saith it? You have this saying. Well, what's being talked about here? Christ. Moses was the spokesman for the law. Christ is the spokesman for faith. And so it's talking about Christ. So it says, but what saith it? It says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, there's already that evidence set before you. As it's been set before your heart, you already have that witness within your heart and the Spirit of God. You have Christ dwelling within. You have all the evidence, all the witness you need. The Jews were without excuse because they were still stubbornly holding on to the law in the face of such great witness. And the Galatians, having tasted such good things, were also in this danger. Christ had been evidently set forth before them and crucified among them. They had both understood and believed and felt the joys of the knowledge of the understanding of the work of Jesus Christ. Yet they're looking at going back under the law. Folks had come amongst them saying, if you will just do this or you'll just do that, in this particular case it was circumcision, it really doesn't matter what the thing is. Anything, any work that is added to the work of Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls, brethren, is something to bring us back into the law duty. So, we go back to the Galatian letter. He says, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or hearing of faith. That when they had heard the message and believed, they experienced certain things of the Spirit there that were given to be a comfort to them. He says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye made now perfect by the flesh? In other words, you're going backwards. You've had all the evidence you need. You even had things of the Spirit miraculously work before you, and you're going to go back and believe someone who tells you that you missed out somewhere? Did the Spirit... It's as if they're saying the Spirit had deceived them? I mean, what are they supposed to be believing here? He says in verse 4, he says, have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He says, he therefore that ministereth you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Again, he's bringing up these things, these evidences that have been set before them. Questioning them, why are you denying your experience? Why are you denying your experience? And I think that's something that we need to look at any time that false doctrine is being brought before the brethren. We need to look back. Brethren, we have a vast body of experience and evidence that we have seen. This was the infancy of the church. It was. We're 2,000 years down the road when things of false doctrine, things that would try to bring us back in the law are brought forth. Brethren, we have ample evidence, ample experience to say those things aren't true. He says, here he says, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know, you think about Abraham. He was called the friend of God. And we know that Abraham made mistakes. That's been mentioned during this meeting as well. He was just a man like anyone else, but a friend of God. And great promises were made to him. But he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He had faith in God. He had the Spirit of God. By definition, he had Christ dwelling within. What's interesting to notice, Christ later on said about Abraham, he says that Abraham rejoiced to my day and was glad. He saw it. You know, there was another man who was a contemporary, roughly a contemporary Abraham, who said the same thing. You go into the book of Job, and he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and I shall see him with mine eyes and not another. Job, also had that same faith in God, and he knew something was coming, and he knew that someone was coming, and not only someone was coming, he knew his Redeemer was coming. Abraham saw the same thing. When Abraham saw the day of Christ, it just didn't mean he saw that Christ was going to arrive. It's not saying he saw his incarnation and his birth there in a manger. Brethren, it's talking about his death upon the cross. He saw his day.
Amen.
The day.
Yeah.
Not days. The day. The day that he did that work. Job saw the same thing. He says he saw his Redeemer. He saw one who was doing the work of redemption. They had faith. It says, even as Abraham believed, God says it was accounted to him for righteousness. You notice it doesn't say it made him righteous. It was accounted to him for righteousness. It is the same with every child of God. It's accounted to righteousness because the one who makes them righteous has already provided all the evidence and already dwells within them. He has already paid all the price. And he is their righteousness. So it says in Scripture, in verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Now, what's it talking about here? So notice it's been talking about Christ all this time. It says, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. And so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. He was faithful to the things that God gave him. And that's one of the things that we need to look at about faith, is that Christ was faithful in what God had given him to do. He was faithful. That's why the Apostle Paul keeps going back when he teaches about faith. Here in the letter to the Galatians and in other places, he points back to Abraham. He points back to Abraham as being typical of what faith is about. Is that being faithful unto the things that God has given us. When God has set that evidence before us, that we're faithful to it. And brethren, we should be faithful to it. That's what it means to walk by faith. It doesn't mean walk blindly out into the world. We are walking forward based on the evidence that God has given us. And he's given it within here. And he's given it within here. And brethren, these things go together. And in the mouth of two or three things are all things established. And they have been established.
Amen.
We should walk faithful as Abraham walked faithful.
Amen.
It says, for as many as the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The very same thing that the Apostle Paul told the Romans there in chapter 10. He says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. It is evident. Why is it evident? Because Christ came and died and was rose again. If the law could make a man righteous, if the law could actually justify a man, if a man could be justified by the doing and the keeping of the law, Christ would not needed to have done that.
Amen.
He says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And then it says in verse 13 and 14 here, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. When we're talking about the things of faith, we should never forget that we're talking about the things of Christ. Christ is not just the object of our faith. And he is the object of our faith. Brethren, he is also the subject of faith. All the things of faith are about Christ. His work, its effect in our hearts, its indwelling in our hearts, its working in our lives. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
That's why there's a lot of things that are said to be faith out there that are not about Jesus. And brethren, if they're not about Jesus, they're not about faith.
Amen.
It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Remember, before it says that the blessings of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles by faith. And here in this verse, it says, by Jesus Christ. It's talking about the same thing. There's not a contradiction there. It says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Do you know that we still receive the promise of the Spirit through faith? I'd like us to go back, and we'll look at this one more text, and then I'll get out of the way and let everybody rest. You go to the Ephesian letter in chapter 1. And I'm not going to go to the beginning of the Ephesian letter, which is where so much of my favorite text is there with predestination and redemption and election and all those wonderful things. And I want us to go over into chapter 1 and verse 12. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Trusting in Christ. Still speaking of the things of faith here. That he says, in whom also ye trusted. So he makes the point. He says, first you had the message and it was delivered to the apostles. They first trusted in Christ. They believed he was the Messiah. And then it says, in whom ye also trusted. And then he uses a phrase after that. And he repeats it a couple of times here. He says, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth. You know, the Galatians had heard the word of truth. He says, the gospel of your salvation. That's what they had also heard. The gospel, the good news of our salvation. You know, I love that phrase, the gospel of our salvation. And it's not the gospel of a salvation that's available unto us. Brethren, it's the gospel of a salvation that's been accomplished for us. The gospel, the good news of our salvation. It says, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, the brethren there at Ephesus had experienced the same thing as the brethren there at Galatia. And then it says about that sealing. Now understand, we know at that time that there were special things that accompanied that. But brethren, I believe with every fiber of my being that we still experience that today, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Because this happens to us. We hear the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of our salvation. We believe that. We have faith. We believe that. Something within us tells us, yes, that's what's happened. I know that I'm a sinner. And yet, yes, I believe that Jesus has saved me. And it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. An earnest. Another legal term. The Apostle Paul scatters little legal terms all over the place in his messages. The earnest of our inheritance. An earnest. It's like a foretaste or a piece of it that comes to you before. Something that is promissory of more to come. And we find here that happens there. They were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Brethren, I believe that when we have that joy of the Spirit and the rejoicing of the things of God and having heard the gospel message in our lives, we have heard it, we have believed it. Brethren, it bears witness that's already been made evident to us within our spirit by the things of Christ. Brethren, we can rejoice in the things of God and have an earnest of our inheritance. A little bit of that here to tide us over, to keep us content and to help us be happy until one more thing happens, which he says, until the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of his glory. Because brethren, one day we're just waiting to the final redemption of that purchased possession. Brethren, he has purchased our soul, he has purchased our spirit, and brethren, he has purchased this body that will go down to the ground one day. But brethren, it is all going to be redeemed. And we are given the joy of the Spirit and the things of God as we have heard the things of the truth and are able to know that, yes, I have all the evidence I need. And that's faith.
Amen.
That's faith. And it's not physical little things. It's things within here, brethren.
Amen.
To know that which the Lord has promised, just as He promised to Abraham, He will make good on. He will accomplish his day. That's all I have. I thank you for your kind attention.
Amen.